Today I'm joined by Jason Stone, a very experienced osteopath from Victoria, and we are talking about osteopathy and sports injuries. Good day, Jason.
Good day, Rena. How are you going?
Good, thank you. So my first question is, what are the most common sports injuries that you see and treat in your patients?
Okay, look, at my clinic, we've got a big sports focus and we have a big association with a lot of local sporting clubs. So we see a lot of the acute traumatic injuries, like ankle and knee ligament strains and tears. But also I'd suggest probably like most osteopaths who are sports orientated, probably the most common injuries we'd see would be more the back related type hamstring groin complaints. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, probably you're starting to see at these days a lot of foot shin problems, generally because of the poor footwear choices people make, particularly over the summer periods. I'm not a big fan of thongs. My patients know that. I'd like their thong recycling bin in my clinic. I think they lead to a heck of issues with, especially when people start training again in the early parts of the year. So yeah, foot and shin pain is probably something that's picked up over the last 5 to 10 years. And then I guess the other thing I see common kids is no doubt knee pain. A lot of kids these days are playing football, basketball, doing a whole lot of sports, and there's just a lot of running and jumping, which is often generating a lot of knee pain in kids. So they're probably the most common things we see sports-wise, yep.
Right. So let's give our listeners a piece of advice. What is the first thing to do when you are actually injured?
Okay, so I guess assuming that the injury is obviously enough to stop you doing what you're doing, I think the first point of call is to cease what you're doing, get off the field or the track or whatever you happen to be doing. I personally would prefer over the years that the next thing to do is to try and compress the area,
mm-hmm.
So whether it's with a bandage or anything you've got there, to try to compress it. The main reason for that is generally with a sporting injury, there's going to be some sort of bleeding or something which is going to start to swell. So if we can compress that early to limit the amount of swelling, and then ice can be used more so for sort of pain management. Debatable as to whether or not it helps with the actual injury recovery or not, but it definitely can help with pain management. So the ice can be handy after you compress it first. And then I guess, yeah, depending on where you're at, it's trying to get off it, again, to minimise any further damage and any further swelling, and then progress towards, hopefully, seeing your osteopath for a diagnosis or the local hospital or medical clinic.
Right, so let's have an example. Say I was injured when I was jogging. Not seriously, just landed awkwardly on my foot and it hurts a little bit. Do you think I should withdraw from exercises for the next couple of days or can I proceed jogging? What's the best option for me?
Yeah, I think the easiest answer is to say if you're able to keep performing your activity without compensating, then possibly you can keep assisting. If you're going to soldier through and limp and hobble, then you're not only going to perhaps worsen that area itself, but you're going to put a lot of strain in other areas as well. So usually I'd say err on caution and stop for a couple of days until someone's assessed it. But commonly people will continue because the blood's pumping and it all feels okay, and then once they stop afterwards, it all stiffens up and swells. So you'd usually err on caution, but at the same time, we don't want people stopping their activity all the time as well when it, you know, it might have just been something which they thought was an injury, but just a little bit of an inconvenience at the time. But definitely I'd say if it's affecting the way that you're performing, definitely stop and have a couple of days and get someone to assess it.
Right. And can you tell us a little bit more about the osteopathic techniques that you personally use to treat injuries in your clinic?
Okay, sure. We, I guess depending on the stage of the injury, if it's fairly early, fairly acute, then our focus is to reduce the swelling. We're not going to be being too invasive in the early period. That's when, one, obviously it's painful, two, the region is trying to heal, so we don't want to be putting too much pressure through those areas. So at the start, it would be a lot more of a soft tissue type, trying to reduce the swelling, maybe some gentle mobilisation again to get the fluid out of the area, and possibly focusing on if there's other areas that might be going to be affected by this. So for instance, someone's hobbling in with an ankle, we may potentially look at the hips and low back to make sure they're not going to get some back pain for hobbling around as well. But generally at the start, it's more focusing on the swelling aspect. And then as it progresses through the healing process, assuming that we've got some sort of tissue which is healing, then we're going to look at trying to regain that joint range of motion and the muscle flexibility. So that will be anything from stretching to joint mobilisation, manipulation, just trying to make sure those little intricate movements are all coming back to some sort of normal function.
And how many appointments do you think I will need?
Yeah, very good. Look, it's a good question. It so depends on what there is, and it also depends on how compliant the patient is with your stretching. If you're going to stretch while I ran, you probably won't need to see you as often. But look, I would like to think that with a general process, most things are going to be swollen for a week or so, and then they're probably going to take 2 to 6 weeks for the thing to heal. But in that time, we're working on the mobility and hopefully progressing towards some strength and stretching at home. So look, often if there's some sort of damage, you're probably looking at I would suggest a few treatments up early, and over maybe a 6 to 12 week period, you might see someone 4 to 6 times, that type of range I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that osteopathy can be beneficial for professional athletes? Can you actually see the profession evolving towards helping professional athletes these days?
Yeah, look, I think absolutely. I think we've got actually a little bit of a niche that whilst there's a heck of a lot of physiotherapists and exercise scientists and working on perhaps the strength and the nutrition and the general biomechanics side of it, osteopaths, their specialty is we tend to look at the more intricate mobility of joints and muscles and to a degree start to see what may cause an injury down the track. So we're a lot more hands-on and picking up possibly restrictions around through your hips and low backs, which might lead towards soft tissue. We might have an ankle injury, which for all accounts, someone can run around and do everything they need to, but when you actually look at the intricate side of perhaps the joints of the ankle and you notice that the mobility of that ankle is nothing like the other ankle, they're the things that an osteopath will get in and potentially then reduce that risk of re-aggravation down the track. So I think there's definitely an area that we can work in alongside some of those other elite modalities. But at the same time, osteopaths these days, we've got a lot of professional athletes who are osteopaths and they know their bodies as well as anyone else. So we're definitely, I think there's something we can be involved with. And as I said, I think we can offer something that can work in conjunction with the other modalities as well.
Great, thank you. And my last question would be a little bit personal. I know that you are not particularly fond of belly flats and all flats that women are wearing out there. So can you explain why?
Oh, this is the shoes you're talking about, sorry?
Yes.
Look, I think that the main issue you've got with anything flat and unsupportive is that particularly, look, I think if we walked around in bare feet, then our muscles would be designed to hold us up and to contract and they'd be probably more flexible. But because most feet are chucked in shoes half the time, the muscles and joints become lax and weak. And I think as soon as you start throwing them into soft shoes and floppy shoes, those muscles of your shin and your feet are working overtime. So they're becoming tighter and tighter and more fatigued. And then when you start to see someone start to hit the pavement and do a lot of kilometres, they're already tight and fatigued. So you start to see the shin pain develop, plantar fasciitis, those sort of things start to develop as well. So it's probably generally this fact that it's the lack of support of the arches, which means your body has to start to do extra work to hold those up. And the problem with thongs is not only are they flat, but you have to hang on to that thong and flip it around all the time. So again, I think you're seeing a lot of overuse of muscles, which ultimately are going to start to break down and get sore when you do a lot more exercise.
Yeah, makes sense. Thank you. It was Jason Stone, an osteopath from Victoria and member of Osteopathy Australia. Thank you, Jason, for your time today.
You're welcome. Not a problem.